As I've been going through this Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, much of it very familiar teaching, I want us to get the point that this is not idealistic, it's not impossible, it is doable, it is practical, and that's why the overall series has been called Living the Sermon on the Mount, because we're meant to live it out, not just hear it, not just pray about it, but do it, live it out. And when we come to this section, chapter 7, Jesus is speaking here about how we relate to each other, how we view other people, and this whole issue of judging. It's a difficult issue. People tend to go to extremes on this. This is quite a well-known passage, and people quote it all the time. Don't judge, lest you be judged. And some think that Jesus here was saying that we shouldn't have any form of judgment at all. We shouldn't have any lawyers. We shouldn't have any judges. We shouldn't have any courts. In fact, the Russian author Leo Tolstoy believed that this passage was teaching that there should be no law courts, there should be no judges. But this, of course, is wrong. That is not what Jesus is teaching here. In fact, elsewhere in the Bible, there is an expectation that there will be judges and law courts and government and things that we need in society. Some people feel that, okay, if we're meant to have judges and courts and so on, that we shouldn't exercise any kind of discernment. We shouldn't use our critical faculties. But again, that's wrong. That's an extreme that Jesus was not advocating. In fact, if you look through the Sermon on the Mount, you will find that Jesus himself exercises judgment. He says at one point, beware of false teachers and beware of hypocrites. Surely there he is exercising judgment. And we'll come to this later, but it's this extreme of saying we shouldn't judge each other at all. That is not what Jesus is saying. There's a good way of exercising judgment, and there's a bad way of exercising judgment, and we'll try and tease that out in this sermon. But I think there are three things that we can take from this passage, three things that I think Jesus wants us to see from these verses. The first two are things that we should avoid, and the third one is something that he encourages. So first of all, what does he ask us to avoid? We should avoid a spirit of censoriousness. Now, that's a very big word. Censoriousness. This is what John Stott says about that word. Censoriousness is a compound sin consisting of several unpleasant ingredients. It does not mean to assess people critically, but it means that we judge them harshly. The censorious person is a fault finder. They're always negative, they are destructive towards other people, and they actually enjoy seeking out other people's feelings. The censorious person puts the worst possible construction on people's motives, pours cold water on their schemes, and is ungenerous towards their mistakes. So to have a censorious spirit is to be a very critical person, a very negative person, a very hard and harsh person. It's never to find any good in anybody else, and it's always picking holes in what people are doing. But you see, we need to be careful, because in doing that, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up as judge and jury. We're setting ourselves up to be God. And we're not God. We don't know all the facts. We don't know all the circumstances that's going on in someone's life. And sometimes we criticize people for sins and doing things that we haven't done yet, but it's simply because we haven't had the opportunity. There but for the grace of God go I. The rabbis in Jesus' time taught that there were two kinds of measure which God used: the measure of justice and the measure of mercy. And Jesus says here, be careful, verse 2, be careful, for whatever measure you choose to use, God will use against you. So if you're deciding to be very judgmental, beware, God will use that same standard for your life. But if you're going to be merciful, God will notice that, and he will be merciful to you. And we, if we are Christians, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received a lot of mercy. We have received forgiveness. God, through Jesus, overlooks our sin. So we need to deal with other people as God has dealt with us. In fact, God has forgiven us far more than the hurts and the wrongs that people do to us. So Jesus is saying here, do not have a censorious spirit. Rather, have a merciful spirit. Have a forgiving spirit. There's an umpire in every one of us. And we are always looking to judge somebody about something. But be careful. Before you enter into that, look into your own heart first. Am I guilty of this sin? Have I done this wrong? Is my attitude right? Am I pointing this out in someone else's life because I love them? Or because I want to put them down and I'll rise up in their eyes? Why am I doing this? So Jesus says, avoid a censorious spirit, a judgmental spirit. Rather be merciful. Then as we move on into verses 3 to 5, he says, do not have a hypocritical spirit. Again, this is very similar to what we've just said. Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? This is one of Jesus' very humorous illustrations. It's really a joke. Imagine going to someone to remove the speck in their eye, and you have this huge, big plank, this log that is sticking out of your eye. How can you help someone else if you have an even bigger issue, an even bigger problem? You see, our problem, because we are sinners, is that we tend to see other people's faults as bigger than our own. It's, again, this issue of looking at our own hearts. Remember in the Old Testament, the prophet Nathan came to David, King David. And he said to David, David, I want to tell you a story about a family who had one little ewe lamb, and a sheep thief came along, and instead of raiding all the other people who had many sheep, he came to this one family, and he stole the lamb. And David was incensed by this story. He thought it was a true story. He said, well, who's done this? Bring this person before me. This person deserves death. He's stolen the lamb, the only lamb that family had. And Nathan says, you're the man. You've stolen another man's wife. You're the man. You're the guilty sinner. You see, sometimes it's easy for us to see the fault in someone else, but actually the fault is ours. We are guilty of the sin. We have done it, or we have the same attitude. Or maybe, as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, so often the sin is in our hearts. We just haven't actually done it. We haven't committed adultery. But we've lusted after someone. Be very careful. There's a lot of hypocrisy in the world. You hear of businessmen who are sore on their employees if they misuse the petty cash, but then later on it's discovered they have swindled the business out of thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. You hear of preachers who are very strong on preaching against pornography and gay marriage or whatever, and then it comes out later that they have been involved in a wrong relationship themselves. Jesus is very strongly against hypocrisy. Avoid a hypocritical spirit. One of the ironies of human nature, as I've said, is that people often, when we're sorest on others, it's actually a weakness that we don't see in ourselves. We see that weakness in other people, but it's actually a weakness that we have. Someone has said we have a great ability to mix ignorance of ourselves with arrogance towards others. Don't have a censorious spirit. Don't have a hypocritical spirit. Don't have a judgmental spirit. And quite often we're pointing out sins that are actually not sins at all. Things that are matters of secondary importance, or things where people are just think differently on them. In Romans chapter 14, Paul refers to what he calls disputable matters. In the Roman church, people were falling out and they were pointing out, you know, somebody would be eating something, they would say, you shouldn't be eating that, you're a Christian. And yet in Christ, all food was declared clean. He says there are people in our churches and they're criticizing and they're gossiping and they're pointing out other people who they're eating something or drinking something, or they're observing a festival day, or even they're wearing something that people don't like. And of this very judgmental spirit. But these are secondary things, disputable matters, matters of culture. There are more important things to be worrying about. One of the things that many people will say to me about Highkirk is that they feel that there isn't that judgmental spirit, that people can come in, they can wear whatever they want, people aren't going to be pointing the finger at them, and that's good, because sadly there are many churches which you would be scared to enter if you were dressed in any way differently. And Jesus says, avoid this kind of spirit. These things are not important. They're cultural. There's much more important things to be concerned about. So Jesus says, firstly, avoid a censorious spirit, avoid a hypocritical spirit. And then thirdly, he moves on into verses 5b and 6. And he says you should actually exercise a discerning spirit. We need to avoid the extreme of saying, don't judge at all, because Jesus actually did exercise judgment. And note what he says in verse 5. He says, first, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It's not that we ignore the specks. It's not that we say, you know, that's not important. We are actually there to help each other to see better. But the problem is, don't try and help someone else to see better if you have a great big plank sticking out of your eye. You've got to sort that first. If you try and help a person in their sin and your sin is actually greater, then you're going to just build a spirit of resentment in them. But if we come alongside someone in an attitude of a fellow sinner, in an attitude of love, in an attitude of concern, with a merciful attitude, well, then that's good. And that's why God has given us the church, because we are meant to disciple one another. That root word disciple comes from the word discipline. We're meant to exercise discipline. We're meant to exercise discernment and judgment among ourselves. The same Bible that says, do not judge, also says, expel the immoral person from amongst you. There are issues which we should not turn a blind eye to. Issues of morality, issues of justice. And sometimes as a church, we say, no, we'll turn our blind eye to those things, when actually we should be getting involved and helping people with those specks before they turn into planks. Jesus came into our world and he had this lovely balance of grace and truth. And that's a challenge for us as Christians, isn't it? How do we walk this line of grace and truth? Not saying that, sin doesn't matter, we'll just ignore it all, because we can be gracious, but we forget the truth side. We forget that there's stuff that God hates. And it's how we have that discerning spirit. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 speaks about people who are involved in serious sin, in some sexual sin. And he says, you in the church, you're turning a blind eye to this kind of sin, but you shouldn't. It's serious. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church, he says. You know, the world has its standards, but we're not to judge the world. We can't expect them to do that. No, he says, you are to judge those inside. You are to exercise discernment about what's going on inside the church, so that we become holy and different, that we are salt and light with something different to share. One of the reasons that God has given elders to the church is so that elders can lead us in objectivity. One of the things that has worried me and certainly some of the other elders is a growing trend of immorality and slipping standards in church life and amongst Christians. And especially when it comes to the internet and Facebook and social media. And what we're discovering and seeing is people in their language are running other Christians down. They're maybe posting pictures that are inappropriate. And the witness of Jesus Christ is being harmed. And so the elders have decided, especially for those of us who are in leadership positions, those of us in a sense who should know better, we're just issuing a little statement to all leaders, and it says this: in recognition of the privilege of serving in Highkirk, I will endeavor, with God's help, to abide by the vows I made when I came into full membership of the church. I promise to make every effort to conduct myself at all times in a manner worthy of Jesus' name. I will aim to avoid every kind of evil in behavior and speech, including in my use of the internet and social media. You see, on the one hand, we can take the attitude, don't judge anyone at all, but that's one extreme. But sometimes you have to have a discerning spirit to say these things are not helpful. And the standards of Christ are being undermined by those of us who should know better. So be careful. Be careful what you share. Be careful what you post. Be careful what you say. Because it's out there. And it's impacting people. And especially younger people who see what you're putting there. We need to have a spirit of discernment. We must examine our hearts and be careful what we put out there. And again, in this final verse, verse 6, Jesus, I think, is emphasizing this need for a discerning spirit. Many people are quite shocked at the bluntness of Jesus' language here. Dogs, of course, in those days were not the cute pets, domestic pets that we have today. They were pretty much wild. They scavenged. They hunted. They were nasty. Pigs, as far as the Jews were concerned, were animals that were to be avoided. So Jesus recognizes that there are sometimes truths and pearls of wisdom in the gospel that will not be received by some people. You have to be discerning. It's interesting to see how Jesus deals with different kinds of people. Jesus didn't wipe off all the tax collectors. He didn't dismiss all the prostitutes. He dealt with each one as an individual. He didn't dismiss all the Pharisees or all the teachers of the law. Nicodemus is one that he spent time with. He had conversations with people. He discerned where they were at in terms of the gospel. He tried to pick up little vibes. Is this person open to what I'm saying? Are they just going to be hostile? Are they going to be a scoffer? And Jesus says, be careful. Weigh up the situation. Weigh up the person. Because actually they may need the gospel. God may be working in their hearts, softening them, changing them, opening up their ears. Or they may be totally hostile and you're just wasting your time. Many of the people who are writing in our newspapers today and in our media have a very hardened attitude towards the gospel and Christians. In fact, they can't wait to read stories or to make up stories even of Christians who fall. Haddon Robinson says this, "The most difficult thing to handle when talking to scoffers who have no time for God is that they throw up all the Christians they know or have read about whose lives have betrayed the Savior. Like dogs and pigs, they take great delight in savaging Christians. When a Christian falls, they rejoice." We live in a culture, a very difficult culture at the minute, where many are looking to pick fault in Christians. And sometimes we need to be picked fault in. We are hypocrites. We do say things and we practice something else. But what I think Jesus wants us to get here is avoid the extremes of being overly judgmental, overly harsh, overly censorious. But avoid the other extreme of saying, it doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter what you do. There's a balance there. And we as Christians are to live distinctively different lives in our standards of justice, in our standards of sexuality, in our standards of how we speak to people. We are meant to be discerning and overall merciful and overall forgiving. Sometimes we in Northern Ireland have a bad reputation, and it's maybe an accurate reputation, of being overly critical and overly harsh, a very harsh form of Christianity. But that's not where we should be. Yet at the same time, we continue to exercise the discernment that Jesus showed in naming sin when it is sin, and when it's serious sin, for the sake of honoring God and living lives of light. Let's just finish off as we pray and as we invite God to maybe search our hearts. Is there something we have said or done this week where we've been overly judgmental, overly critical? Father, as we look back over this day, this week. Maybe there's things that we have said. Maybe we've been criticizing people. And you know, our own hearts are not right. We are guilty of the same sin. Perhaps we just haven't had the opportunity. And there, but for the grace of God, go I. Father, forgive us. We have received mercy. Help us to extend mercy. We have received forgiveness. Help us to forgive others. Help us to have the discernment of Jesus. To know when something is trivial, when something is secondary, when something isn't a sin, and then to know when something is. Help us as a church to be loving, to try and understand what people are going through, and to come alongside them in compassion and care. And all for your glory. And all for the building up of your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of judges, the one before whom we shall appear. In his name we pray. Amen.